Oh, it's wonderful to be here on this Sunday morning of our business meeting. Yes. And I just, before we get started, I just want to thank all of you again for all the love and support. We definitely are a family. And I wanted to, you know, share with you that my desire, of course, is to be with Mitch. And when Mitch and my mother gang up on me and say, "No, you're going to go over there." And my mom and my sister say, "We'll be watching Mitch," because, you know, got to make sure everything's going all right, right? So I just wanted to thank you all again for the love and support. And I know Mitch thanks you, too. And I know some of you have called him and talked to him. And I know that's made him feel good, too. So thank you for that. Thank you, yeah. Pam. Didn't ask that question. I just realized I let Ed go upstairs to grab something, but I wanted to start off our meeting with Gussie giving the invocation and saying a prayer. And Gussie is over on the side on the right, and I have no way to get a wireless microphone to her. Cause okay, the mic is coming. Thank you. Is that Jay or Brian? One of you is bringing it. Richard.
Where's the mic at? One of these two?
No.
Which one do I
get? A wireless microphone.
Okay, come back there.
Mm-hmm. Put on your roller skates. I know there are songs, Run, Run, Run. Isn't there a song, Run Red Robin or something? I can't, yeah. Yes.
On your right.
And Richard's wearing blue, so I can't call him the Red Robin. No, Gussie can't. Go ahead. To your left. Richard, to your left.
Okay.
There. You know, that's the way it is with us partials. We have just enough vision to be dangerous, right? And we can't find you, so you have to holler at us. Okay, Gussie has the mic. So if we can go ahead and start the meeting off with a prayer.
My Gussie? Favorite song is "Shut In With God In A Secret Place. There in the spirit, beholding his face, gaining more power to run this race. I'd rather be shut in with God." Father, this morning again we come to you, giving thanks for all that you have done. Thank you for life. Thank you for the very breath that we breathe. And again, we pray for Kathy and all of those that out. Mitch, Lord, you are the specialist. And we know that you are able to do what needs to be done. There's no doctor like you. And can't nobody do like you. And we ask you to touch him this morning. Encourage him. And touch him. And we ask each and every one here, Lord, we thank you for this convention. It's been great. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every one here. They are my friends. And I will be glad to see him when I come. I've been out a while. But God, I'm glad I'm back here. Because there's life in this place. And I thank you, Lord, touch this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Ken, I don't know if you have a wireless, because Ken wants to do a little surprise this morning really quick before we get started. Yes.
Home with me?
And before we get going with the surprise, does everyone have their badges? Because you know how resolutions can be.
Okay, I'll let you guys know what I'm going to do, Madam President, just so everybody knows. I'm going to be calling Mitch on my cell phone with a speaker. I have a microphone, and I will say something to him first, but I will let him know at least that he's on ACB radio so that we make sure it stays clean.
Oh, Lord.
No, I wouldn't expect anything else. But and as soon as I say something like, okay, I'll use the okay, we can all say hi, Mitch, or love you, whatever you guys want to say, and get well. All righty? So go ahead and carry on. I will do this and be right back.
Okay, well, remember, it's him saying okay, so.
Yeah. I'm okay, you're okay.
He's going to try and get him. Okay. Ken's trying to call him, and Jeff is way over there. Cause
they probably don't want to do minutes yet.
Okay. Actually, I did that. And I was going to have a door prize or two, but as I said, Ed went up to go and grab something. So.
Okay, it is ringing, so hold on just
ringing.
For a sec. Let's see if he answers.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Mitch. It's Ken. You're on Ace Radio, at least, so don't say anything nasty. Okay, but at this, okay. All right, guys. We've got you live here at the convention as well. We thought that maybe you'd get out of that bed and get over here in about 5 minutes.
That's not likely. I think I'm here for a few days.
Okay, we just wanted you to know how much we've been really hoping that things go well for you. You've been in the devotional service. You've been in the... in the invocation here today, and you're certainly all in our hearts and our minds, and we all want to wish you the best.
Well, thanks, Ken. I'm feeling okay. I'm wearing a cervical collar. It looks like there's an infection in my disc in my neck, or one of them. I'm probably going to be here for 3 or 4 days, but... I'm feeling fine otherwise. Today is Sunday football.
we know you're fine, then.
and I'm here following your footsteps, Ken, working on training the nursing staff about dealing with independent blind people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I won't mind going the next time. But
the nurse over here, Patty, is laughing because... she's been a day nurse, and we've had some interesting discussions.
I'll bet.
Oh.
Yeah. Advocacy does not stop, Mitch.
That is correct.
Okay, we certainly wish you the best, and Godspeed to you, and we will be back. People will have your phone number, so we'll talk with you real soon, but we all wanted to really say hi.
Well, thanks, and I appreciate it. Take care, everybody listening on ACB Radio and at the CCB Conference Convention.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye. Sometimes technology works.
That was good.
Sometimes.
See, I told you he's working on training the nurses. He's got a new crew of them today, so. He is in room... 5106.
323-783-5106.
Okay. Now, why don't we go ahead and have a door prize before we get started with everything? That's right. Okay. Guess what? We have money. Let's do $25 cash from San Gabriel Valley chapter. And we have a 2012 calendar from the Redwood Empire chapter. And we're going to have Gabe draw. I don't know how he got up here, but they'll let anybody in.
As long as they pay. They like it. Yeah.
It's not here. Frank will be.
Oh, Frank.
Oh, Frank's not here.
Steve Ford.
Steve Ford, are you here?
Yes.
All right. And guess what? We have more money, but we're not going to give it right now. You got to stay to get it. See? Okay. We will go ahead and get started. Continue with the meeting. And let me go ahead and ask for our secretary to read the minutes of the spring business meeting. Gabe, it is yours.
Okay, thank you, Donna. And before I begin, let me just say thank you to Jeff for filling in for me at the spring convention in Sacramento. I was sick and unable to attend Sunday morning, so he filled in and read the business meeting minutes for me, so I appreciate that from the last convention. And here we go with the minutes from that spring convention. Spring 2011 conference and convention business meeting minutes. For the convention at the DoubleTree Hotel in Sacramento, California. President Donna Pomerantz called, this would be Sunday morning. Donna Pomerantz called the meeting to order at approximately 9:01 a.m. Oh, there's my microphone. Jeff Tom read the business meeting minutes from the fall 2010 business meeting for Gabe Griffith, who was unable to attend due to illness. There was one correction, that Artis Bazin was elected to fill an unexpired term vacated by Peter Pardini when he was elected as treasurer. It was moved and seconded to adopt the fall business meeting minutes. The motion passed. Treasurer's report. Peter said that organizations' total assets are $1,223,615. For the period of January 1 to March 31st, 2011, CCB had total income of $55,685 and total expenses of $59,577. This is a deficit of negative $3,891. There was other income from investments during this period of $27,471. Peter then read the proposed 2011 budget. Total proposed income was $285,420. Total proposed expenses was $351,001. The total income less expenses is a negative $64,581. Jeff asked to have the total income from 2010 reported at the fall 2011 convention. He feels that it is important for the membership to hear that the previous year's income at the spring conventions. It was moved and seconded to approve the treasurer's report. The motion passed. It was moved and seconded to add the total expenses for the 2010 in the minutes for the 2011 spring convention business meeting minutes. And that motion passed. Constitution and bylaws. Roger Peterson gave the committee report. There were no proposed amendments this year. There was a discussion as to how the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and Membership Committee can communicate to assist with chapter and affiliate dues, as well as requirements for chapters and affiliates. It was stated that all chapters and affiliates need to send the office their constitutions when they are updated. It was moved and seconded to accept the Constitution and Bylaws Committee report, and the motion passed. Resolutions. Jeff thanked committee members and others who attended resolution meetings. He also encouraged CCB members to attend resolutions committee meetings. There were a total of 14 resolutions submitted. Three of these were withdrawn, and two were the appreciation resolutions. For more information on the spring 2011 resolutions, please see the summary of resolutions that will be attached to these minutes. It was moved and seconded to approve the Constitution Committee, or I'm sorry, the Resolutions Committee report. The motion passed. Other committee reports. The Deafblind Committee, Roger Peterson, gave a committee report. They talked about looking for more funding. They would like to get funds to improve the ADL or ALD systems. They are also interested in letting the membership know that individuals who are blind and hard of hearing should consider coming to the conventions now, because we have more assistance for them than in the past. Frank Welty wanted to know the results of the nominating committee. These results were Roger Peterson was nominated for second vice president. Judy Wilkinson was nominated for secretary, and the board positions that were nominated are Robert Wendt, Artis Baden, Foster Brown, Linda Perrell, and Eric Smiley. Committee on Access and Transportation, Gene reported that the California Building Standards Commission has responsibility for administrating the 2013 code cycle. The Division of State Architects introduced a provision for ATM and POS devices that all will have to have tactile keypads. They are aware that this is only the first step in the process. There is also starting to be discussion about how to make roundabouts more accessible. The next announcements. The next conference will be from October 27 through October 30th, 2011, at the LAX Hotel. Frank Welty. On Saturday, May 28th, there will be an organizational meeting for the new Contra Costa County chapter that is trying to get started. Abby Schumann, the fundraising committee is working on fall sweepstakes tickets and prizes. It was moved and seconded to adjourn the convention. The motion passed. Respectfully submitted, Griffith, CCB Secretary.
Do we have a motion to approve the minutes as read? And a second. Any discussion? Roger, if Ed will get a wireless over to you.
So I guess it's my job to beat this dead horse. I don't think there were any elections at that convention, but there.
Let him finish.
But there was business conducted other than on Sunday morning, and it needs to be reflected in minutes. For example, I'm quite sure that the Credentials Committee reported, and we seated the delegates for all the chapters. And I think it's really important for the minutes to reflect how many chapters weren't there and that sort of thing. So I think we need to straighten that out.
Thank so, you. Roger, what you're proposing is other business that happened at the convention.
It should start with whatever business happened Friday night, you know.
So, Roger, what I would like you to do is work with myself and our secretary so that we could get those things set so that we would be prepared to report on them on a regular basis at our business meeting.
Madam President.
You know, there are lots of situations like for when we're transferring bank accounts that the elections and things like that have to be. I think we've got the elections in some of the other minutes, but every piece of business that's conducted at this convention needs to be reported in the minutes.
Okay, and Gabe would like to respond to you, Roger.
And Roger, I know I usually do try to get all the business from Friday night as well as Sunday. I apologize. That was an oversight in these minutes as I was putting them together. I will go back and get the recordings from Friday night and confirm what other business, if any, besides the credentials report will need to be added to these.
That's right. Now he's going to go and do more work and put that foundation institutional memory in there.
Would it be acceptable to add that as a friendly amendment to accept these minutes with the addition of credentials and other business from Friday night?
Okay. And that's so friendly. We're friendly. And Bernice is calling for the floor.
It's my understanding that the resolutions that get attached to the minutes should be the actual resolutions. We do the summary in the BC, but the actual, if a member wanted to get a particular resolution, they should be able to get the entire resolution. And then I noticed there were a couple of committee reports that weren't accepted or voted on.
I actually just recently went back through the recording from the spring, and those committee reports were given. There was no action taken on them.
Then we need to be more mindful on the floor.
There was no action reported because there was no action taken at the meeting.
And so all committee reports were given, and at least according to the recordings. Okay. Any
Madam
other
President?
Discussion on this item? Jeff.
Yeah, and I'll be really quick. It's probably be a good idea for, you know, using more due diligence about what we're recording in our business meeting minutes for you, Donna, to say, you know, especially on Friday night, you know, we're now entering into a business portion of the session, and then when we leave that, okay, we're now, you know, leaving the business portion or whatever. Just so that it's a little more clear when we are and aren't doing, you know, business that we're recording.
We never
thought about it before because we weren't recording those things. But.
Right, and I think that's fine. I just wrote myself a note as well. And Roger and Bernice, if you could also help remind me when Roger, we start working with you. On some of those things that we're definitely going to put in, remind us of that part as well, and I can definitely do that on our Friday evening sessions as a helper and reminder to us. Any other discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. The next item is, and I understand we have our treasurer, Peter Pardini, down at the end of the table, and he's counting money, our treasurer. All right, everybody, let's please hear from Peter Pardini, our treasurer, for the treasurer's report.
Thank you, Donna. California Council of the Blind Treasurer's Report for the period January 1st to August 31st, 2011.
And if you can get a little closer to the mic.
Okay. Is this better?
Yes.
We had total income in the amount of $141,740. We had total expenses in the amount of, for the same period, in the amount of $163,235. There's a difference of, we had total expenses less total income less total expenses, a negative $21,489. For the same period, we had other income in the amount of a negative $6,683. If you include all income and all expenses for the period January 1st to August 31st, CCP had a net loss in the amount of $28,171. Basically, the decline in other income is due to the dip in our investments. But over the last 3 or 4 weeks, I noticed that the stock market has substantially gained a lot of ground. So I think things are going to be better with our, October 31st financials. I'll just run through the total assets of the organization as of August 31st. Total assets for CCB as of August 31st, 2011 is $1,149,162. And this concludes my treasurer's report.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the treasurer's report as read? And we have a second. Do we have any discussion? All those in favor of approving the treasurer's report as read, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, I am going to hand it over to our resolutions chair. And I'll say that I was meeting with them in resolutions last night. We had a wonderful discussion on one of our resolutions. But it was great. We all disagreed, but we were not disagreeable. And then our resolutions chair brought us to the center to a consensus. At least I think it was the center. And I will give it over to our resolutions chair, Jeff Tom.
Okay, thank you. So, let's. I did something right for once. I wrote down the names of my committee members, so I hopefully won't forget them. And I want to thank them all. Well, there's probably one I'll have forgotten anyway. But Gene Lozano, Robert Wendt, Charles Navarrete, we hope he is better. Gabe Griffith, Lena Contreras, Lena
Bandy.
Lena Bandy, what am I saying? I'm missing my Linus. We have Alina in Northern California. That's Contreras. So I
well, I was thinking, oh, when did Lena get together with Albert?
I didn't write down last names. I only did half the job. Linda Perel, Dirk Neihardt, and of course we had contributions from obviously Donna, as she has said, as well as others, including Tricia Leitz, Casey Cook, and others. And I want to thank them all for their very hard work because it's really a collaborative effort that we undertake. So, as I open the first one, you know, Sunday is a day for that's reminiscent of collaborative, responsive readings. And as I give you the topic of this first resolution, I'm going to see if people can do the correct responsive reading to this. I bet there's a couple people in here that can. If I say EHC, you would say? Very good. We have the responsive reading for today. Okay, resolution 2011-B1, Enchanted Hills Camp. Whereas recreation, including rigorous physical activity, has always been one of the greatest unmet needs of children and adults who are blind or who have low vision, and whereas in 1950, Rose Resnick, one of the century's foremost blind activists in California, founded Enchanted Hills Camp, and whereas this camp was founded as a means of enhancing the lives of children and adults who are blind or have low vision, primarily through the creation of recreational opportunities, and whereas as a program of the Lighthouse for the blind and visually impaired, Enchanted Hills, through the provision of such recreational opportunities as crafts, music, hiking, nature walks, horseback riding, campfires, and sports, including swimming and boating, has made a profound difference in the lives of thousands of children and adults with vision loss by building self-confidence, creating lifelong friendships, enabling the enjoyment of the camp's bucolic setting, and enhancing the blindness-related skills of... And enhancing the blindness-related skills of campers. And whereas, by serving persons with vision loss, including children and youth, adults, persons who are deafblind, persons with special needs, veterans, and families with a member who is blind or visually impaired, Enchanted Hills provides a unique resource to those in California. And whereas, based on campers' experiences during the 2011 Enchanted Hills Camp summer sessions, concerns have been expressed that the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, under the leadership of its executive director, is intending to change the emphasis of Enchanted Hills from recreation to rehabilitation and orientation and mobility training. And whereas, such a change in emphasis would be a significant loss for Californians with vision loss due to the elimination of the unique recreational opportunities the camp provides. And whereas, in actuality, one of the secondary values of a recreational experience is the chance that it affords for skills development in a less formal setting. Now, therefore, be it resolved. And I guess I'll read the boilerplate the first time through. By the California Council of the Blind in convention assembled this 30th day of October 2011 at the Crown Plaza LAX Hotel in the city of Los Angeles, California, that this organization strongly urged the Board of Directors of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired, as well as its Executive Director, to reaffirm the provision of recreational opportunities as the primary mission of Enchanted Hills Camp, and to continue administering the camp in accordance with that mission. And the committee recommends a do pass.
Okay, do we have a second?
We don't actually
need that's second. Right. Gabe just told me that, and I still... You know, I always do the opposite of what Gabe tells me, so... Why should
anything
change? And
sometimes it makes her do the right thing.
Let the record show that Gabe told me to do the right thing right now, and I disagreed. Let's put that in the minutes. And Rob says put that in the minutes.
Thank you. I will be sure to do that.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember here. I call for any discussion, or do I just call for the vote?
Discussion.
Okay, discussion. You know. Okay, someone calls for the floor. Can you please stand up so Ed can get over to you? And identify yourself by name before you speak.
Hello, I'm Warren Cushman. I've been a longtime camper at Enchanted Hills. And what I recall from the past is that there have always been times when Enchanted Hills was used for other than recreational purposes. But in the past, what I recall is that, for the most part, the summer sessions were the recreational sessions. And then the other times of the year were the times when other purposes were used. And part of what the reason was because, frankly, the camp was unused for the majority of the time that was not the summer sessions. So the lighthouse, and this was before the current executive director, the previous executive director also tried to find uses for the camp that would utilize the camp for other than recreational purposes in the other times of the year. But what I'm hearing now, this is the first time I've heard this, but from what the resolution says, the plan is to change the summer sessions as well and to radically change the summer aspect of it. If that's the case, that certainly would concern me. I'm going to contact Brian myself and get details as to what's going on. But this is, I'm very surprised about this. This is the first I've heard about this.
Okay. We have someone who called for the floor.
This is Judy Wilkinson. Jeff, do we usually say who submits resolutions? Is that appropriate to
yes,
ask?
Yes, we usually do, and I neglected to do that. Thank you, Judy. This came... there were many campers that wanted to submit it. We had one resolution, actually, that we sort of melded a little bit of this into that Dan Kaiser had worked on. This came to us through a couple people had input into this. Elena Thomason, who is a camper and a longtime camper as well. Margie Donovan, who is also a board member of the Lighthouse.
And others.
And others, yes. Many others.
Believe me, at the National Convention, all those others were coming up to me expressing concern, and I encouraged them to contact Jeff. So this resolution really is a collaboration from quite a number of people.
There was almost a camper's revolt, you might say.
That's, and
from
they
what
had
I
it,
heard.
Yes, and they had it right by my seat at National Convention. So
we do have some... I guess some hard evidence.
Oh, believe me. Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Okay. Who seeks the floor? Okay. Ed's coming.
Okay. I work. I've never been to Enchanted Hills per se, but I do work in a recreational facility. And sometimes I think they tend to give us the short shrift, like, oh, you're not really doing anything. But I see it every day where recreation enhances the skills, the daily living skills. I see people sometimes who are devastated because they think they'll never be able to play a game of cards again. And then they find out they can play cards again. And then their whole life just picks up and it inspires them to keep on with the daily living skills. I think it's very short-sighted of the director of the Lighthouse to eliminate that, because I think in the long run she's going to hurt the daily living skills program he's trying to save. So I let's pass this resolution. Thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Okay,
Mr. Chair, next resolution, please.
Okay, thank you. We're now on B2, Orientation Center for the Blind Administrator. Whereas for more than half a century, the Orientation Center for the Blind, OCB, under the administration of the California Department of Rehabilitation, has been a key component in the provision of rehabilitation services to adult Californians with vision loss through the provision of residential training services. And whereas instruction in daily living skills, orientation and mobility, braille, assistive technology, and adjustment to blindness are just a few of the services provided by OCB. And whereas, for a variety of reasons, it has been extremely difficult for the department to fill the position of OCB administrator. And whereas one of the reasons for the difficulty in filling this position is its inadequate salary level. And whereas an equally, if not greater, factor is that the statutory qualifications for the position are written in such a manner that well-qualified individuals are precluded from being selected. And whereas, pursuant to Section 19503 of the Welfare and Institutions Code, the minimum requirements for appointment to the administrator position are as follows. Quote, A, 4 years of full-time paid experience working in a program for the education or rehabilitation of adults who are legally blind, with emphasis on non-visual techniques, including but not limited to daily living, mobility, and communication skills. At least 2 years' experience shall have been in a supervisory or administrative capacity. B, proficiency in Braille as a second language. C, education equivalent to graduation from college with a bachelor's degree. Additional qualifying experience may be submitted on a year-by-year basis. And whereas there are very few individuals in this state who meet all of these requirements, and due to the inadequate salary level for the position, it continues to be almost impossible to attract fully qualified candidates from throughout the nation. And whereas by crafting legislation to modify the OCB administrator qualifications in a way that will not dilute the requirements essential to select an individual qualified to perform the functions of the job, but that is less exclusionary in its impact on attracting qualified candidates, the state will better be able to fill this position. And whereas until this position is filled, it will be extremely difficult for OCB to undergo the changes in its curriculum necessary to ensure that it continues to be a leader in the provision of rehabilitation services to persons with vision loss. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization, excuse me, I went a little too far, that the president of this organization be directed to immediately appoint a task force charged with drafting legislation that seeks to ensure the Department of Rehabilitation will be better able to select a qualified person for the position of OCB administrator, with such legislation to be introduced at the earliest possible time, and be it further resolved that, in designing this legislation, the task force include amendments to Sections 19503 of the Welfare and Institutions Code and an increase in the salary level for the OCB administrator position to provide compensation that is more commensurate with its duties, and be it further resolved that this task force consult with the Department of Rehabilitation, including the Blind Advisory Committee, in drafting this, in drafting such legislation. The committee moves a do pass.
Okay, sorry. there's a point I wanted to speak on, but I'll wait. Okay, let's go ahead and have some discussion because we had someone moving in the back. I think it was Ken, so you moved too. Before we recognize the person on the floor, I want to make sure that I heard what I think I heard. Jeff, can you please read that last resolve clause?
Yes. And I should say, by the way, that in this case, I was the main drafter of this resolution. I consulted with some other people, but this is one that I drafted. Okay. This is the last resolve. Resolve that this task force consult with the Department of Rehabilitation, including the Blind Advisory Committee, in drafting such legislation.
Okay. If I could take a moment of personal privilege here.
Absolutely.
Okay. I am not comfortable with that last whereas clause.
You mean the last resolve clause?
Last resolve clause. Because I think that the California Council of the Blind has two people who are members of the BAC committee. I believe that through those two members, you could seek input. I am not comfortable with this organization, and maybe I'm misinterpreting this last clause, so please correct me if I am, but I'm not comfortable with this organization touching base with DOR and the BAC on legislation that we want to come out of our organization.
Let me explain. I have no problem in dropping the clause.
Okay.
Let me just explain my intent, and if you still feel that way, I'm more than happy to drop it.
Okay.
The only intent I had with that is that I felt before we actually introduced it, we didn't want to introduce something that might be immediately opposed in order to, because obviously what we're trying to do is work in a way that's going to get something done. But I'm happy to drop the clause because I fully understand what you're trying to say.
Okay.
So I would consider that a friendly amendment request.
Okay.
And
okay.
It is now.
We are.
Gone.
We are completely and totally independent, and having the resolution without that clause doesn't preclude us from touching base, you know, finding out, you know, maybe where they see weaknesses and such. But when we do our work as the council. So,
in fact, it never existed.
Thank you. All right. Okay. Who seeks the floor? Ed is with someone already who sought the floor. Who was that?
Lisa Cushman here. Okay. I'm definitely in favor of the resolution, of course, but part of the reason probably for the low salary is the fact that they don't require a master's degree or a PhD or any advanced education other than a bachelor's degree to fill the position. And if they raise the salary, what they might do is raise the education requirement.
Yeah, let me just say one thing to that, and I'm not going to respond directly, but indirectly. One of the reasons that this resolution did not seek to prescribe what the task force should do is so that the task force could be the one to take a look at this whole problem and design the solutions rather than us trying to do it in a resolutions committee room without all the knowledge that we need to make those decisions. And I didn't think, and I hope the committee agreed with me, that we're better off leaving that to the task force to look at.
Okay. Any other discussion? I thought I heard a gentleman seeking the floor to my left, but maybe changed his mind. Okay. Hearing none, those in favor. Oh, and the committee's recommendation?
We moved to pass.
Was a due pass. All those in favor of opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Before we go to the next resolution, I was given room keys that were left out on the floor outside the door in their little envelope, and it's room 536. You're checked out, and you this envelope was dropped on the floor outside of the door. So, yeah, it probably came out of your pocket. So I have your room keys up here. Okay. Perfect. Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. We're going on to 5. We'll come back to 3 and 4 later. And this one was submitted to the committee by Jean Lozano. This is detectable warning specifications. Whereas for the last 2 decades, the California Council of the Blind has led a largely successful advocacy effort in this state for requiring the use of detectable warning surfaces adjacent to vehicular ways and other hazardous areas as a key component in ensuring safe travel for persons with vision loss. And whereas in undertaking this advocacy, the organization has always striven to take into consideration the needs of persons with other disabilities. And whereas, as part of these efforts, Resolution 2000B7 was adopted by the membership, with this resolution containing various specifications for detectable warning surfaces. And whereas, this organization has worked for for the adoption of these specifications by both federal and state agencies. And whereas the American Council of the Blind, in Resolution 2011-06, also supported the use of specifications contained in Resolution 2000-B7, as the requirements for which that organization would advocate with the U.S. Access Board and the U.S. Department of Justice. And whereas California's Detective of Warning surface specifications currently permit a 1.67-inch center-to-center truncated dome spacing, and whereas research demonstrates that requiring a 2.4-inch center-to-center truncated dome spacing enhances surface detectability by persons with vision loss and is more easily navigable by persons with other disabilities, including those using wheelchairs, walkers, or crutches. And whereas Resolution 2000-B7 did not contain provisions addressing this requirement, now therefore be it resolved that this organization add to those detectable warning specifications for which it advocates a requirement that detectable warning surfaces be in an inline grid pattern with a vertical and horizontal center-to-center truncated dome spacing of 2.4 inches. And the committee moves the pass.
Do we have a... Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Resolution passes. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. We are now on one that was submitted by your president. So you're free to really rag on this one if you want.
I love the support, yeah. I feel the love, yeah.
2011-B6, Department of Rehabilitation Training Materials. Whereas state agencies have a federal and state statutory obligation to provide materials in accessible formats to their consumers, employees, grantees, and others. And whereas this obligation is equally applicable when outside trainers and other contractors provide materials to a state agency. And whereas the Department of Rehabilitation, quite arguably the state entity that has the most frequent contact with persons who are blind or who have low vision, should be setting the example for other agencies to emulate. And whereas at training conferences held by the department, materials are often not provided in accessible formats, especially when they are produced by entities contracting with the department. Now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization insists that the Department of Rehabilitation uphold its legal obligation to provide training materials in accessible formats, whether or not those materials are produced by the department itself or by an outside entity. The committee moves a due pass. And I hope that I have gotten what Donna wanted in an accurate manner.
He did. And, of course, if Troy were here, he'd sigh and he'd say, oh, one-note samba. But he'd agree, too. So, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Oops. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, he's looking, so why don't we have a door prize?
I was trying to bring up the resolution with the braille note off, and that
door
was a little
prize.
Tricky. Little tricky.
Let's have a door prize. Let's give away some money.
That's right. I got it now, but go ahead. I want to win that door prize, too.
You mean you can't bring up resolutions with your braille note turned on? It's pretty cool if I could do it.
Yeah.
$25 from Bayview. And a personal digital voice recorder. Okay, let's have... Oh, no, Jeff's fighting with his technology. Or did you...
No, I got it.
Okay, have Jeff draw.
Off, that's all.
Have Jeff draw. If he picks his name, we'll throw it back in and say he didn't. Right.
Joe Rao.
Joe Rao? Oh, Joe's not here.
Hey, number two.
Next. Al Gill, where are you? He's gone.
Oh.
They had an early flight, I know. He mentioned.
Early flight north.
Yeah. Anthony Signorello.
I'm here.
Yay! Yay! He gets the money. Okay, Mr. Resolution Chair,
okay,
back to you.
Okay, we have, I think, three substantive ones left, and then our ones that we do in our appreciation resolution after that. So we're moving well, guys. This is Resolution 2011-B7, roadside rest maintenance fees, and something that's come up very, very suddenly here. Whereas, pursuant to Section 220.5 of the Streets and Highways Code, business enterprise program vendors are given a priority at roadside rest areas chosen by the California Department of Transportation, Caltrans, for the installation of vending machines. And whereas, Subdivision D of that section provides that the department shall determine the costs for any maintenance, operations, design review, or other activities related to the vending machines and shall be reimbursed for those costs from the revenues derived from the operation of the machines. And whereas the revenue from this reimbursement is required to be deposited into the state highway account. And whereas Caltrans, in consultation with the Department of Rehabilitation, but without any input from blind vendors, including the California Vendors Policy Committee, has formulated a new fee structure to be imposed on each vendor commencing November 1, 2011, that would dramatically increase the roadside rest area maintenance fees. And whereas, given the lack of vendor inclusion in this process, such issues as federal compliance, the degree to which the structure accurately reflects costs attributable to each vendor's rest area, hardships upon vendors and other vendor concerns were not examined, and whereas this structure was not adopted pursuant to the requirements of the Administrative Procedures Act, and whereas the increase could well result in vendors being unable to remain in business, now, therefore, be it resolved that this organization strongly urge Caltrans to rescind the fee structure to be imposed on roadside rest area vendors and to involve stakeholders, including the California Vendor Policy Committee and the California Council of the Blind, in determining the design of any fee structure. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be immediately transmitted to Caltrans and the Department of Rehabilitation, as well as to the leadership of the California Legislature. The committee recommends it pass.
I heard several so moves. Any discussion? Okay. Ed, we'll get a mic over to you.
This is Charlene. Jeff, I need you to double-check something. You said it would commence on 1/20 of 11. Would that not be 1/20 of 12?
No, it's November.
Oh, you said 1/20. Just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Mr. Chair. And he has his technology on because I could hear him poking away.
And it was too late.
Yeah. That's okay.
Okay. We have 8, in-home supportive services reductions. Whereas the In-Home Supportive Services IHSS program provides an array of primarily non-medical services to low-income, aged, blind, and disabled persons in order to allow them to live independently and remain in their own homes. And whereas IHSS program services include, among others, transportation to medical appointments, meal preparation, shopping, and assistance with the visual tasks associated with health-related activities. And whereas over the last 2 years, the legislature has enacted cuts in IHSS services
that have created a reduction of approximately 10%. And whereas, in addition, as part of the 2011-12 budget, the legislature enacted a 20% cut in IHSS funding that would become effective in January 2012 unless prescribed state revenue projections are met. And whereas it appears highly unlikely that these revenue projections will be met, and whereas imposition of this 20% reduction will have a devastating impact on IHSS recipients, and whereas as a result of this reduction, many individuals may have insufficient services to remain in their own homes and instead would need to relocate to long-term care facilities, thus costing the state far more than if these persons remained at home with their IHSS program services. And whereas research clearly demonstrates that the quality of life for many who are displaced from their home environments deteriorates markedly, now therefore be it resolved that this organization strongly urge the legislature and the governor to enact no further reductions in funding for the IHSS program and instead to delay or otherwise limit the reductions that will go into effect January 2012 should the aforementioned state revenue projections not be met. And the committee moves to do pass. This was, although it's something I probably should have brought, it was actually brought, asked for by Robert Wendt.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have anyone moving to support the resolutions? Thank you. Any discussion? Dan?
Yeah, Jeff, this is just a minor technical question. When we take positions on a lot of issues, we've taken positions simply on what a lot of times the Governmental Affairs Committee would have, the sentiment within that particular committee, but we've done resolutions on substantive bill proposals. And I'm just wondering why, I mean, my question isn't, do we support this issue? Obviously, we do support this issue. But my question is, why have a resolution on it when, you know, when it's one of those many issues that this organization would oppose those cuts? So I understand. Well, okay, do you get my question?
Actually, I'm having a technology issue. Can you clarify it so I don't answer it incorrectly?
Okay. I'm just wondering, if we take positions in governmental affairs on issues, and this is a issue that we're not doing a bill proposal, we're not introducing legislation, but we're opposing this issue of possible budget cuts, another 20%. And it's a big issue, and I know we're all wanting to.
They've already made the budget cut.
Yeah, okay. But my question is, why do we need the resolution? Why on something so obvious?
Well, no, I think though that it is actually an issue that we want. Number one, it's a bigger cut than anybody else is facing. And number two, it is a program of concern to many of our members. And I guess number three, because we're actually going to be helping in an effort along with others.
Okay,
to say,
so we can have that resolution for the other groups. Okay, I got it.
Well,
and the legislature.
Yeah, and because there's going to be others that are going to try to also say, look, let's not have this 20% go into effect or at least limit it if we can.
No, I support it. It was a technical question.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, thank you, Dan.
Any other discussion? Okay. All those in favor of the...
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Let's have another door prize. I know. Okay. Let's... go ahead and do a $25 cash prize from the Bayview chapter. And we'll have Jeff draw that. And let's see who gets it. Keith Tomlinson. Oh, he was here and I didn't get to see him. All right. Next. Wayne Thompson, are you in the room? That'll teach you not to come to resolutions and the business meeting. Oh, Connie Gill's not here. Because if she was here, then we'd start talking, huh? Because Al's gone. Okay. He's...
Okay, let's go with this one.
This one. Over there. This one. D-Man, are you here? Oh, no Dee Dee. You know what? Dee Dee said I could take it for her, but... Oh, no.
Albert Contreras.
Albert Contreras, where are you? Yay, Albert. Oh, I'm sure you will. Albert's right. Oh, poor Albert. All right. How's your technology, Mr.
Chen? We have it up.
You know, if Mitch were here, he'd say, if you have them written in hard copy Braille, you wouldn't have to worry.
And he'd be right.
That's why Jeff brought his own tech support person.
Yeah.
That's right.
All of a sudden, I feel this air behind me. Gabe, fix this. I said, uh-oh, this can't be good.
It was going to read everything at about 1,000 words a second.
All right. Mr. Chair, it's all yours.
Okay. This is on college student fees, Department of Rehabilitation payment rate. And this is our last substantive resolution. It's number 9. And this is sort of a committee resolution, I would say. That's the best way to describe it.
I would say it is, yeah.
Whereas the Department of Rehabilitation has a policy under which payment for tuition and fees for students in their first 2 years of college are to be paid at the community college rate, except that students admitted to a state university or University of California campus or other four-year institution may be paid at a state university or University of California rate under circumstances where it can be shown that placement in that institution furthers the student's plan of employment. And whereas all indications are that the department intends to very rigorously enforce its policy of only paying at the community college rate for consumers attending a four-year public institution while completing their lower education coursework, except under the most extraordinary circumstances. And whereas the rehabilitation agencies of other states, such as Texas, Nebraska, and New Mexico, pay for college tuition and fees at the four-year rate for students completing their lower division coursework. And whereas it is important that college students with visual impairments be afforded the opportunity to avail themselves of the educational opportunities that they have earned, and whereas, because California's practice may leave the consumer with the obligation to pay a large share of the cost of college tuition and fees, and because it is extremely difficult for those students to find employment in order to cover those costs, California's policies imposes a severe hardship on these consumers. And whereas services received at four-year institutions by consumers with visual impairments, as contrasted with the services received at community colleges, often enable these consumers to better maximize their educational experience, and whereas the environment of a four-year institution can be more enriching than the community college environment, and whereas this departmental policy runs counter to the objective of optimizing the chance of achieving success in a consumer's employment goals, now there be it resolved that this organization strongly urged the department to rescind its current policy on payment of the community college rate for consumers attending four-year institutions and instead provide for payment of the applicable four-year public institution rate for consumers completing their lower division coursework. The committee moves a do pass.
Okay. Do we have any discussion? And who seeks the floor? Judy.
Well, as a community college instructor of 30 years, I'm always telling people they can get a fabulous education at a community college. But I totally support this bill because, like it or not, the four-year experience, if a student has earned it, will look better, I'm sorry to say, community colleges are looked down on, will look better on their resume, and if they have earned it, we have enough battles to fight. We need the best possible options to go forward.
Thank you. Very well said. Any other discussion? Well, we had a lot of discussion on this in the Resolutions Committee meeting. It was wonderful.
We had two conventions of discussion on
it. Yeah, that's right. See, I blocked out the other one. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
We're going to go to our Resolution 3 and 4, our appreciation resolutions. Resolution number 3 is hotel staff. Whereas the hotel staff of the Crown Plaza LAX Hotel worked extremely hard to make the 2011 Fall Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind a great success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization express its profound appreciation to the hotel staff of the Crown Plaza LAX Hotel for its outstanding efforts. Yes. The committee moves a do pass.
Any discussion? Is that Dirk? Okay, Ed is getting a mic over to you. And whoever had to leave, there's still more money, so now everybody in here has a better chance of getting it.
I was getting water when this resolution passed, and I want to add the names of the day and night managers to the resolution.
Dirk is stating that he wants to add the names of the day and night managers in this resolution. That's what he said.
Okay, so that's an amendment. It's not ordinarily what we do, because we don't normally single any one person out. This is to sort of tell everyone that they've done a great job. From the server that took you to the elevator to whoever. So, Dirk, I understand it, and obviously, if it's the wish of the body to, if it's felt that what you have said is really appropriate to be entered in the resolution, then that's what we should do. But historically, we haven't done it in that way, because otherwise, we could put all sorts of names in there. Hold on.
Okay. So that's what I was going to say. You're not being friendly, right?
Well, it's not unfriendly, but I
that's what I was trying to do, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It is an you are,
yes.
As the committee chair.
For purposes of parliamentary procedure, it will not be viewed as a friendly amendment.
Okay. So... Our parliament, Roger?
So he has to move it if he wants it.
Right.
He's moving it. Okay. So then I'll... Oh, do we have a second? See, I was hearing talking out there, and I thought I heard a second. But do we have a second on Dirk's move? And that's, okay, we have a second. Any discussion?
Madam President.
Gabe is discussing.
I didn't
say disgusting. I said discussing. Haven't had my coffee yet. Okay, Gabe.
They did take a shower this morning, really. I understand the spirit in which this amendment is offered. However, I agree with what I've heard several, I think, people say here, that if this passed, I think we'd have to add the name of every member of the hotel staff. There are many in this room that have been attending conventions much longer than I have. However, in all my time of working with resolutions and following these and reading them, we've never put anybody's name. We've just left it as a generic staff appreciation so that it can, and my understanding is that it's transmitted to the management of the hotel to be shared with the entire staff. So in that spirit, I believe that this resolution should remain as read so that it can be shared with this entire hotel staff, which has done a great job, I believe.
Yes, exactly. And if whoever's speaking on the cell can go outside to take that call. Oh, okay. All righty. Okay, if we can have someone speak against, because we just have...
Four.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So do we have a four? Because we had an against. We don't have a four.
I think Melissa... Is it Melissa?
Yeah.
Melissa called for that.
Yeah, it's Melissa Hudson. You know, I agree with Derek. I get the... It's for the whole staff and everything like that. But, you know, just mentioning, you know, the manager to say, and then he or she tells, you know, her staff, I don't think it's necessarily singling out. It's like saying thank you to CCB and it names Donna as the president and says, thank you, Donna, president, and your staff and your whole membership and stuff like that. That's all I'm saying. I don't think it's such a big ordeal to name,
okay,
you know, the staff and plus your staff that you do. Because the manager is the one who I would think is the leader and sharing to their staff and making the first example to lead to all the rest of their staff.
Okay. I'm going to, I think
Madam
it
President.
Was our treasurer and then a lady here in front of me. So go to our treasurer first.
Can we... not changing the resolution, but put a note in the cover letter that we send out to this resolution. You know, especially thanking the appropriate manager.
Well, we do that anyway. I mean,
would that be a good compromise?
We send a cover letter out.
But could you make a note in the cover letter to thank the appropriate manager?
I thought we already did that.
Would that be a good compromise?
Yeah, what I'm wondering is, I would see that as, naming them specifically in the letter and getting it to them specifically. I would see that as a good compromise. However, I'd like to hear from the proposer of the amendment on that.
That's an okay idea, but I think having a public declaration with our resolution is a better idea. But just as long as these managers are recognized and have something to show to their staff to say, good job, staff, I think that's the idea I'm promoting.
Okay, so the question I have, maybe, and then there's a lady, and then I heard Ken in the back, I think it was. So the question I have is, would you be amenable if you're insistent on having them named in the resolution, would you be amenable to something like inclusive of, you know, and then the name of the day and night managers?
I'm uncertain about your
in
wording.
In the letter.
If you have the resolve clause, I could affirm it.
Let me have Ed recognize the lady up here. Not sure who it is it?
Charlene Arnelles.
Charlene.
Yes, because there's not only the day and night managers. There's the manager of the banquets. There's the manager of housekeeping. There are a numerous number of managers. And when we single managers out, if it wasn't for the staff that do the work that they supervise, there would not be a good job.
Okay. I thought I heard Ken in the back, and then I'm going to call for the vote on the amendment.
Oh, Ed's got a different mic here. Okay. Number one, we'd be setting a precedent. Number two, the CCB folks that set up the conventions actually trained the managers and the staff. Number three, the managers are not out there at full time just helping folks where their staff is out there helping the folks. Number four, and I think Charlene said that there are just so many different managers that we could name that I would never want to do that and leave someone out. And finally, when we send a resolution of this sort to the hotel, I'm certain that they send a copy of this to the corporate office, and the corporate knows who the managers are.
Okay. So we are voting on Dirk's amendment, and I would like to say all those in favor of the amendment to put the managers by name into the resolution signify by saying aye, day and night managers. Okay. Opposed?
No.
Abstentions? The amendment is defeated. So we will go to the original vote on the resolution. First, is there any more discussion? All those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Resolution is passed. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So we're on our last resolution. This is 2011-B4, volunteers. Whereas the generosity and hard work of the volunteers at the 2011 Fall Conference and Convention of the California Council of the Blind can make this convention a rousing success. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind that this organization express its profound, I got off on my line.
Our media past president is trying to get me to say I'm profoundly sorry. Is that
right? Yeah, that's right. That you appointed me to this position.
this organization expresses
its profound appreciation to each and every one of these fine volunteers. And the committee moves to do pass.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
And with that, the committee would like to thank you for your participation. I would like to thank them again, and would like to move the adoption of the resolutions committee report. Or if that's my prerogative, I don't know.
It's your prerogative. Go ahead. I'll let you move. Okay. All right. All those in favor of adopting the report? Opposed? Abstentions? The report is adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's have a door prize. Oh, if anyone is leaving early, apologies, either raise your hand or put your badge on the chair before you leave. Okay, Ed says put them on the chair. That's true. Put your badge on the chair so that we can go ahead and collect them. Okay, Ed, do we have money?
We do. We have three envelopes of $25 cash.
We have three $25 cash envelopes.
From St.
But from San Gabriel Valley. Wow, that chapter's wow. Let's have Gabe, but we're not going to draw them all at once because we still have more business to do.
My name's got in here somewhere.
No, I had Ed take it out.
Oh, jeez.
Vicky Parker, are you here?
Draw again. Alan Ramos,
are you here?
Hey.
Alan!
You can thank me later, Alan.
Okay. I would like to know if there are any committee reports. Roger, chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, and our second vice president. Roger.
Yes, actually, I'm not the chair of the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, but the chair regretfully is not here because of some very tragic family situations that he's been subjected to recently, and so he asked me, Dr. Gerald Kunstler, by the way, is his name, Kunstler, and he asked me to chair the committee and to give the report. This is really not a formal report because there was not. First of all, there were no submissions by members either before the convention or during our meeting, and secondly, the meeting consisted of me and David Jackson and Mary Beth Randall. So it wasn't really what I would call a formal committee meeting. When we have that situation, we do sit there and wait in case people want to come and talk to us. And we talk to each other while we're doing that. And we do actually occasionally talk about substantive things. And I wanted to mention one of them to you, just as not as a formal proposal or anything like that, but just as a suggestion. There was some talk at the committee meeting that there might, if the financial position of the council doesn't improve, there might be a time when we have to revisit the question of one versus two conventions. And we talked about and suggested and thought it was a fairly good idea to, if that time comes, to actually propose that we provide something in lieu of the other convention. And I actually mentioned that I've known of other state affiliates who take their board meeting around the state and invite the members in the area to come and have lunch or dinner or something with the board members and have a an open forum as part of the board meeting. That would be something that we could suggest as something that would be less expensive than convention and still draw local area members in. So that's the conclusion of my, shall I say, perfunctory or shall I say vestigial or whatever committee report. Thank you.
Jeff said marsupial. Okay.
Do we need to
okay.
Report?
So since it's informal, do we still need to move for adoption of the? Okay. Okay. It's an FYI. You know, and I'm glad my second vice president told me what they were proposing. I didn't know about that, but that's interesting. Very interesting. Any other committee reports? Okay. I have a question, and I don't know if this is going to work because I just thought of it and forgot to ask Jay and Brian. to hook up my laptop because I didn't know if it was going to work. Oh, Lord. Do you guys want to hear the What Blind Isn't videos?
No.
No? Because I hear someone barking in the audience. Roger, what happened? I will, but the reason I'm asking now is because if you did, and I heard two people that said no, they were very loud. But if others wanted to let me know, because I've heard around the convention that, you know, people hadn't heard them yet and all of that good stuff. Exactly. Hold on 1 minute. Hold on 1 minute. Roger?
I agree that if you want to stay, that means you should finish the business.
Yeah. So, Roger?
In other words, the business, the other items of business, the old and
absolutely.
New business, should be taken up before you.
Yes.
And you should get out of the business meeting and then.
Which.
Then watch
right.
the video.
Which is what I was going to do because yes, we're not finished with old business or new business. And for those who want to hear, you know, we can go ahead and allow that.
She was just trying to plan.
Thank you, Pam. I was just trying to plan, yes. They're probably about, Melissa, 3 minute clips. Okay. Yeah, so it'll probably be 10 minutes total. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So who seeks the floor? Linda. Thank
Hi.
You, Linda.
I have a question for the technologically challenged or perhaps for chapter purposes. Is there any way of getting these on a CD or some kind of tangible item that one can hold in one's hand
yes,
and
there
plug
is.
Into a machine and then play for people?
Yes, there is. And if David and Melissa are amenable, we'll talk about it because I have a copy and the office also has a copy. But currently, you would need to play it, you know, on your laptop, on your computer. And Ed is standing at Dave and Melissa's area, so let me let them speak to this.
Sure. Hi, it's David Hudson. You know, certainly we can provide those on DVD. I think what we'd want to do is understand the level of interest in terms of getting those. If it's just, you know, a handful of DVDs, that's fairly easy to do at home, and we can provide those out. If, you know, the entire membership wanted DVDs, you know, we'd want to look at an alternative way of producing all of those. So, you know, the ability to respond with those just kind of depends on the level of interest,
okay.
But certainly possible.
So what I would like folks to do is call the office, but wait, because Ed's not going to be in there for a few days this week. Call the office on Friday if you are interested in having a copy, and I'll give everybody a week. And so the deadline will be the following Friday, and we'll go with that number we've heard from. I'll touch base with David and Melissa and give them the number and see if that's feasible. So contact the office. Rob. Hold on 1 second. Ed is running with the mic.
I probably should know this, but are the videos available for download via the website?
Yes, they are.
Thank you.
They're on our YouTube channel as well, and you can get them off the Mutt Strut.
Just a point of clarification, just because sometimes people get hung up on the terminology used. So the videos are available on YouTube. They're linked from the Mutt Strut site, and that in turn is linked from the CCB site. They are not downloadable in the sense that you will get a file on your hard drive that you can, you know, deal with. So they're streaming via YouTube, but they're not
streaming
downloadable
YouTube, yeah.
In that sense. So
thank you for that clarification for those who are more techie than I. Okay. So do we have any other committee reports?
Yes, Madam President. This will be very brief. I don't really want necessarily responses today because give you some time to think about it. But in our somewhat lightly attended, because I think there were just a lot of other conflicting things, Governmental Affairs Committee yesterday, we discussed whether or not people felt there should be a Capitol Day, and the consensus was, and I'd like to hear from other people after the convention, the consensus was that, number one, doing it at the convention was not really possible because of the transportation issues from the Bay Area. Number two, the organization itself can't really, pay due to our physical circumstances to put on a Capitol Day, although we might be able to help, in certain ways. But we couldn't really pay, the transportation and these type of costs. But that we should, if at all possible, and of course we don't know exactly what we'll be doing, whether we'll have more budget battles or the OCD thing maybe or whatever. But although we don't know exactly what we'll be fighting for or against next year, BEP maybe, we should still have a presence, have a Capitol Day to the extent people can self-finance and come up and do it. And, we can always work at trying to get housing or whatever else we can do to make it happen. But so I'm just interested in finding out from other people, between the next couple months, what their interest is in maybe doing something for Capitol Day, because I seem to be a general consensus that we ought to try and have that presence every year to make sure that people know we're around.
And what I would like to add to that as well is the other option that is available is doing it the day before convention actually starts. So that's something else. It, might be a little easier for folks to do because they're planning on coming to convention, adding one more night. So even the day before convention, is also an option. Doing it on a Wednesday, that could be a possibility as well.
Thank you,
contact Jeff. Let him know your views. If you want to contact the office, you can, do that as well. Thank you, Jeff. Any other committee reports? Okay. Do we have any old business? Bernice Kandarian has a question.
We didn't have a membership growth award presentation this year. Was there a reason for that?
It's in the spring.
Yeah. I thought we did it every convention.
Let's give Artis a microphone. And David Jackson is the chair of membership, and Artis is assisting as the vice chair of membership. So Artis, since David isn't here, if you could speak to that.
Okay. We had motioned by the board about a year and a half ago to switch it, because what was happening is we were finding that many chapters would get late dues in. In other words, they weren't getting new members, but at the spring, when the one growth award was from the spring to the fall. And what we were finding is that the growth between those was just same members, but that they were paying late in the year, and that's why they weren't in the spring number. So that's why we switched to have both membership growth awards at the spring convention. One is percentage and one is actual numbers. And whereas before we did one in the spring and one in the fall.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, any more old business? Do we have any new business?
Yes.
I hear a yes.
Oh, good. New business
is good.
I felt uncomfortable about that election, one having an absent candidate and two not giving the absent candidate's proponents a chance to speak. I would like clarification provided at the next convention by our constitutional committee.
Okay. And one of the things that I am aware of in regards to that specifically. He is working with the IRS, and I know, and our treasurer probably, you know, would be able to concur, but I know the first year working with the IRS, they're very, very strict about getting time off and such. So that probably was part of the issue. Someone seeks the floor?
Yes. Lisa Cushman, I was a little uncomfortable with not having him get time to speak. I probably should have made a motion that he have speakers and taken matters up, but I felt like people were trying to get to sleep, and I can understand that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, then he didn't get a chance to have speakers.
Right. So I think, you know, Dirk did the proposal about having the, you know, Constitution and Bylaws Committee look into that. And Roger is definitely our unofficial parliamentarian and such, and I'm sure we'll consult with the board. Is that Ken? That's okay.
You know, and I can honestly understand where these folks are coming from,
yes,
that others had speakers and then all of a sudden this one didn't. However, to me, this was not his first election to the board. Mm-hmm. I think when people are running for the board, they have some responsibility for their own actions. If they can't be here, I don't have a problem with that when it comes to employment. But it only would have taken one or two or three phone calls to at least arrange speakers when you know that you are a candidate. And that's the reason I did not have a problem with that Friday night.
Madam President.
Jeff.
I am not going to voice my opinion as to how what the outcome should have been. Not even positive. I know what my opinion is. But I do think that we need to have a convention rule established. It doesn't necessarily need to be in the bylaws, but we don't have any. The problem that Gene was facing the other day is we don't have any custom and usage on this, and he was sort of having to try and fly by the seat of his pants, and that put him in a very difficult position.
Right.
And one can argue he was right, and one can argue he was not. But we need to have a precedent that we can follow for the future so that Donna doesn't have to run into the same difficult position and all of a sudden come up with something and other people not like it, blah, 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 you know. So that's my
And I, you know, I wasn't there, but, you know, we all talked to each other. So I heard about it when I came back. I was still with Mitch when that happened. I think that the proposal of touching base with the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and the board and such, we could get something, you know, very solid in place so that no one has to deal with that again. And, you know, I heard there was a lot of, you know, folks were uncomfortable. And, you know, two people chose to express that today. A number of other people express it to me in many different ways since I've been back. So we will work on that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Anything else from the floor? Okay, we do have a yes. It's Dirk.
Oh, I do have it. It just slipped out of this.
If you could
pea brain here,
Dirk.
Yeah.
If you could come closer to the microphone, or if you're proposing something to the Constitution and Bylaws Committee and the board, you could definitely contact the chair, because we're not going to fix it today. And I think that the best course of action would be to have our Constitution and Bylaws Committee and the board discuss this issue so we could get policy in place. So if you're going to propose a possible suggestion, touch base with Jerry Consular or Roger Peterson, actually, because Jerry won't know since he's not here, of the suggestion, and Roger would bring that to the group.
New topic.
Okay, new topic. Great.
I would like to see the roll call at ACB board meetings on the email.
Can you make sure
that all of our board members are doing their job and attending the meetings.
Oh. You would like to see, and tell me if I'm saying this correctly, board members have telephone conference call meetings, CCB board members have telephone meetings in between convention. You would like the roll call reflected in the minutes of board members who were and were not attended? Actually, it is. What our secretary does is.
Would you like me to address this?
Go ahead, Gabe.
Gabe. Dirk, every single board minute starts off right after the call to order with the roll call. And it says present were, and goes through the officers and the board members. And then it always, if there's anybody that was absent, it says, absent was, and list those as well. So are you asking to have something other than that done? Because every single board minute does reflect the roll call of the board, and all of those board minutes, once they're approved, and I'm not sure we've always done quite a good job. I'll definitely try to do better since I think I have access to do this. We've always or will put in the California connection once those board minutes are passed, and anybody can call the office and ask for those. So,
if we can please have order, and if people want to seek the floor, please call for the floor.
But just to finish up, Dirk, those minutes do reflect it, and everybody is welcome to call the office and ask for those minutes, and we're happy to provide them.
And Bernice, let me recognize Bernice, and thank you, Bernice, for calling for the floor.
Ed will. The microphone.
Oh, you still have it? Okay.
I know we can ask for it. I don't want to ask. I want it given automatically.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, Dirk, since you are asking that you would like the minutes given automatically to you of all board meetings, Friday of this week, give Ed a call and let him know that you would like to receive board meetings minutes automatically, and in what format. And we'll do that for you since you're requesting it for yourself.
No, I'm not requesting it for myself. I'm requesting it for all members.
All members. Well, hold on one second. Hold on one second. Each and every member has the ability to speak directly for themselves. And believe me, we're a vocal bunch. folks do request it. So Dirk, if you would like it, I will get it for you. Let Ed know. But we're definitely not an organization that says it's requests. It's making requests, and it should be done for everyone unless everyone says they want them.
Well, let's have a vote on that.
No. People... That's out of order, actually.
Why?
And actually, the room seemed to speak very vocal. Remember I said they're very vocal? I heard lots of no's. So, Dirk, have faith in the membership that they will absolutely contact the office and let them know if they would like those minutes and in what format. And we'll put out notes and reminders on the connection on a regular basis. Don't forget to ask the office if you'd like them and so on and so forth. But, yes, and not until they're approved. Charlene makes a great point. Bernice wanted the floor.
Thank you. Oh, it is on. Okay. First of all, I want to dispel this notion that the minutes are in the Blind Californian. what is in the blank Californian is merely a summary. The summary doesn't list what board members were present or not present. And they may not even get into the next BC because of space limitations. And, you know, if we had read the minutes, it would have provided some information that might have averted the situation that occurred.
And all board members absolutely have a voice, and there was a motion. And
yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But people are short-sighted here.
Well, and what people need to do, which was one of the things that I was going to talk about in my president's report that I didn't give on Friday, but we are implementing on the phone voicemail so that it's not only limited to people with computers. We're implementing a number in the voicemail box where you can call in and give your suggestions, you know, something that happened that you think worked well, something that, you know, you didn't think worked so well. And it's on there already. Yeah. Thank you, Pam. Pam said it's on there already. But I was going to tell folks. Well, I want you to use it, though. I want people to say what they liked. I want people to say, you know, what they had concerns about. And I also want you to propose solutions to some of those concerns that you might express on there. And it's done in a way that it's not only limited to people with computers, because folks with computers email me and say this, that, and the other thing. And that's a good thing. But we're implementing it on the phone side, too. So you can do it however you wish. Because me as your president and your officers and your board of directors, we need to hear from you in between conventions, too. So that's why I'm doing that. Ed, did someone else seek the floor?
Donna Sanchez. Madam Chair, since you did not give our president's report Friday, unfortunately, will you be putting it in our Blind Californian newsletter?
What I will do, what I'll commit to do is I will commit to, instead of my president's article, putting the report in the BC, but I'll need to work with our publications chair and our editor, because I want to be mindful of the space limitations. So, yes, I will do that. Thank you. Any other questions? I'm sorry. We're a new business, and this is kind of business. Any other new business? Anyone seeking the floor? Let's have a door prize. $25 from San Gabriel Valley. Ooh, Peter.
He's better at taking it.
Larry Freeman.
Larry Freeman, are you in the room? Did he say yes? Oh, he said no.
He said no.
I mean, oh, he left yesterday.
He said no, he's not here.
Who? Peter Pardini. Wow. Okay. What I would like to ask, because we have one more cash prize to draw, I'd like to see, though, if anyone has any public comment or anything quickly that they would like to say before we draw the last prize and adjourn. Any public comment on anything? No. Oh, wait. There's a hand.
There's two.
There's two.
I heard a gentleman to the left and a lady on the right.
And go ahead and stand up so that Ed can, if you're able to, Ed can.
Madam President.
Who seeks the floor?
Lisa Cushman.
Lisa.
Hi. I'm interested in forming, on the idea of forming an affiliate for California Pride, like the BFLAG organization that they have in California, that they have nationally. and an affiliate for people who are blind who also have psychiatric disabilities. So if anybody is interested in talking to me about that, please contact me.
And what I would encourage you to do on that is also touch base with the membership committee so that you know what would need to be required to form a special interest affiliate.
Okay, that sounds good.
So you could start the right way.
Okay, great. That sounds good.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else take the floor on public comment?
I'm coming. Hold on.
Hi, Richard Moore, San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
Can you get closer to the mic, please?
Yeah, I'm right there.
And identify yourself?
Richard Moore, San Gabriel Valley Chapter.
Okay, Richard.
Was wondering what we could do to possibly get the Del Amo Blue Line Station designated as a memorial for Cameron Tuxer's. Okay.
Okay. Someone from the floor said, who was that? In our general session yesterday, we had a discussion on the case. There was a gentleman who was totally blind who fell between the gaps of the Blue Line train, and his brother, family, and the attorneys came and presented on the case. They thanked CCB for its assistance as well, and Cameron was the gentleman who was killed when he fell between the gaps and the train ran him over. So, and that was Richard, right? Richard Moore, who made the comment. It is the Del Amo station on the Blue Line train in Compton. And thank you very much for that suggestion.
Madam Chair? Rob Turner?
Rob, yes.
Just a couple of quick things. I think it'd be useful to, and maybe I've just missed them, but be good to get some attendance figures, you know, for the conventions, for each convention, just a rundown of how many banquet tickets were sold, how many registrations, that kind of thing, just to get a feel for how we're doing. The other thing is not necessarily a public comment, but it's more, I think, as far as the videos are concerned, it would be helpful if these could be made available as MP3 files for download, because a lot of the chapters would maybe like to play them at the meetings and don't necessarily have video facilities anyway, so the audio would be just as good. That's okay. It.
Thank you. Okay. Pam Pollock appears sought the floor, but Ed's going to the back because he found someone else who sought the floor.
Who do I go to?
And, well, actually, if those who... Go ahead and Pam. I heard okay. Pam first.
Thank you, Donna. I wasn't sure if you heard me.
I did.
Thank you. I was just going back to the memorial statement, and the only reason is that, as is Donna, I'm in really close contact with the family, and they do have a memorial at a park near their home, and I'm not against what the idea of a memorial at Del Amo, but what I would suggest is that the family be contacted and consulted before anything was to happen about it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Ed's going back.
I hope this is the last thing, but I want a rousing round of applause for Ed, who in Lily's absence has kept the office going.
I want to get him a segue.
One more.
There are a few more. There are a few more, so.
Marcy Knudsen speaking.
Marcy Knudsen.
During
the president's dinner, there was someone asking for feedback on what we want to see the future of CCB do. Just general ideas and how those ideas might be implemented. And I didn't take the opportunity to speak, but one of the things I'd like to see is different state chapters getting more active, involving the local optometrists and ophthalmologists, inviting them to come to your chapter meetings and your chapter socials just as guests, even if, you know, no subject about having them be a presenter or having them be a speaker, but more actively inviting them as guests and inviting them to join your local chapter, because that would increase our exposure, and then the optometrists and ophthalmologists could take the opportunity to tell their patients about what CCB does, whether or not we are present around their office, you know, just something to get them more informed of what our meetings schedules are and what our social schedules are, to invite them without putting any pressure on them for to do anything.
Okay. Thank you. I like that. And I think these are also good, you know, good discussions and good ideas that we can also have on the president's list as well. While Ed's going to the next person, if there is one, I just want to take this opportunity to thank Roger and Jean for pinch hitting for me at the last minute when Ed gets a call from me when I'm in the car on my way to Kaiser with Mitch and my parents on Friday. They really didn't get hardly any notice, and I want to say that I had no worries. I knew that my vice president and my second vice president were definitely people to call on, and I just want to publicly thank them and everyone else who assisted. It was sort of your job. That's what Roger said. It's sort of our job. Well, but you guys did it very well, and other board members who jumped in and helped, and, you know, it was just, I wanted to publicly thank you for that. And Ed, I was not going to call you when I got home here at 2 a.m, even though you said, call me when you're coming back, so I'll know. So thank you to everybody for jumping in at the last minute on Friday while I was gone. A big round of applause for them. And I also want to publicly thank Jay and Brian, our audio folks. They are awesome. And when Peggy Garrett decided that she was going to follow me around on Saturday morning to make sure I ate, because that's what Mitch would have done if he was here, I want to also thank Brian and Jay, because they said, we're on it, we'll take care of it. And all of a sudden I had food when I was meeting with a couple of my officers in a quiet room. So just thank you to all of you. And I also want to thank Ken Metz for doing our ACB Radio World stream once again. That was, you know, that was really good. I understand there were a few glitches, but I believe that they got ironed out. And a number of people always want to tune in and listen and see what we're up to. I don't know why. And I don't know if Michael and Peggy are in the room.
Yes, we are.
They are. They're in the back. I want everybody to give them a big thank you. Okay, and I don't have them. I know somebody asked questions about the dates for the fall and spring convention next year, dates and locations. And So we don't have them. So what I will do, and our wonderful secretary will make a note and remind me with an email, that I will go ahead and put that in the next connection so that folks can access that information by phone and or by email. For those of you who aren't subscribed to the connection, you can get it by email. Subscribe list and you'll get all the information. Ed also puts it out on the other CCB listservs too. That was requested by a number of other people who said, well, I don't want to subscribe to another list and I'm already subscribed to this. So we get to see it over and over, some of us, on email. So, and Gabe says he gets to see it even more after writing it. So remember, the connection belongs to each and every one of us. So I'm very encouraged that people were putting their convention program items on the convention, encouraging people to attend their trainings. Wednesday night is the deadline, so please be mindful of that. It's very difficult because of space issues. We're not always able, you know, if someone wants to put an item in and an event is on Saturday or Sunday, if we have space issues, that item might not put into the connection.
That's a very good point. Please get the items in as soon as you know about it. Usually 2 to 3, probably 3 weeks is usually the kind of the outside length of being able to run most items, just because new items are always coming in. But definitely, like Donna said, please don't wait until the last minute to get it in, because there may be a chance that your item may not run if you're trying to put it in on Friday for an event that is the next day.
Right. And I know that, you know, sometimes, I mean, life happens. And I know sometimes people's plates get full. But don't get angry with us if we can't put it in. We'll try our best, but we do have space limitations. And, of course, it's first come, first serve, you know, for people's items in the connection. And I see someone standing up, and then Pam called for the floor as well. Is that Charlene?
Yeah.
Charlene? And then Pam.
I just wanted to commend you for putting the menus in the information, because that made a real difference as to what I decided I would want to attend. It kind of influenced me to go to one I probably wouldn't have gone to.
Ah, okay. You're welcome. Pam.
Member, this is Pam Paulgy from the San Gabriel Valley chapter. We're the one who's giving away all the money. I just wanted to say that it might be a good idea even now to mention that the California Connection is on the 800 number, the 221-6359, after business hours on weekends and holidays. And I'd like to make another suggestion that president of each chapter mention that at the meetings, because I'm running across a lot of people that are not aware of it. And there are a few people, not very many, but a few people that are like me, who don't know computers. So, and some people hear it on the phone. So I just want to make sure everybody gets to know that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, I heard a man's voice and a lady's voice.
Lisa Cushman, will there be a connection on Friday?
If we can please have.
Will there be a connection this Friday?
Yes.
There will be, yes.
Okay, thanks.
And the gentleman?
Thank you. Hi, this is Pete Romero. I would like to publicly say what I had said to Donna a while ago, that I really appreciated the fact that they put the hotel description online. When I was in the airport waiting for the plane, I was able to study it, and by the time I got here, I had a fairly good idea of where I was going, which is certainly better than my situation at the DoubleTree. So I really enjoyed that. And the other thing I wanted to mention is, so I wanted to thank you for that, and I hope you keep doing that, because that made it much easier to prepare. And the other thing is, I think on the upcoming conventions, it does list the dates as April 12th through 15th in Burlingame, and it mentions the November 1st through November 4th back here in L.A. So anyway, thank you.
He has internet access or he has a really good memory. A little of both.
You're both Crown Plazas, huh?
Yes. So we're Crown Plaza squared, huh? Does anyone else seek the floor? Remember, we still have one more money to give.
Madam President.
Yes.
This is Michael Garrett. I just wanted to take this one last opportunity to thank all of you. Thank you for Donna for inviting us. To thank you, CCB, for being a gracious. We have had just a marvelous time, and keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for being here. I know we've all enjoyed having you, haven't we? Yes, we have. You've been wonderful guests. Anyone else seek the floor? Somebody else seeks the floor?
This is Mike Keithley. I want to, on behalf, I hope, the people who use assistive listening devices at the convention, I want to thank you for making them available. Thank you.
Yay. Thank you. Okay. Since we see no one else seeking the floor, why don't we draw those last door prizes? We have one left, $25 from the San Gabriel Valley chapter.
Maybe I can pull Peter.
No, Gabe, you cannot.
No, pull me.
Michael Garrett. All right. So go ahead and give that over to Peggy. Okay.
What's up, Peter?
Peter?
People
leave their... I'll do the reminder again, yes. When you leave your badges on the chair. And your assisted listening devices, if you can leave those on the chair, is what Ed is saying. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Pat's moving and lots of people are moving. All those in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Thank you, everybody. Our meeting is adjourned.